call to order the Northern Mayor and Council regular session Monday, September 11th, 2017, and has been a longstanding tradition for many years. I'd like to invite everyone here to join the Mayor and Council in signing the oath. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Would you please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance? The Pledge of Allegiance
is to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item of business is the approval of the executive session minutes of August 28th. We have a motion by Councilmember Purnell to approve the executive session minutes as filed with the council. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? And let the record show it's a five-zero unanimous decision that all council members are present. Yeah, you're feeling much better now. The reason for the executive session was two reasons under Maryland Open Meetings Law, and one was to consult with our council to obtain legal advice on legal matters, and the second was before a contract is awarded or bids are open to discuss a matter directly related to a negotiating strategy on the contents of a bid or proposal. The public discussion or disclosure would adversely impact the ability of the public body to participate in competitive bidding or of the proposal process. Now we're on 1C, which is the approval of the regular session minutes.
I'd like to move to approve those minutes and look at corrections.
Sure.
On page 3, the third paragraph from the bottom, it talks about Councilmember DeBrus stated that families can call the Snow Hill Office at. The phone number is 410-632-3624.
Thank you. Thank you for catching that.
Did you
get that, Councilor? 362. Yeah, we're out of
sport.
632.
Oh,
632,
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
The exchange. Yep.
Okay, any other corrections or additions to approve? Okay, we have a motion to approve the regular session minutes of Monday, August 28th, with the correction in the phone number. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Next, we have a presentation tonight we've all been looking forward to, which is the presentation of the interpretive plan for Berlin Falls Park. Let me just say this again, showing after much study and with a professional background, some of the possibilities, knowing what's realistically possible. This is not a decision tonight to actually do everything that's recommended, but to begin the process of knowing what are some of the passive uses and proper uses for the park that are also environmentally sound. So, coming forward, conservation community consulting are Dave Wilson and Jim Brown. Mm-hmm. Should be no strangers.
Thank you. Nap here. You said this doesn't work, so maybe you will stand.
Yeah.
Would that be?
I'm going to keep my back to you guys. But
pick the right night for the mics to go out. Just saying.
Yeah.
Carl, exactly. We were going to sing, but
the right people. So it's only dance afterwards. No, we're going to get a dime anymore.
So we won't take too long. I'm Dave Wilson. With Conservation Community Consulting. Some of you probably know me as former director of the Maryland Coastal Base Program, and I'll let Jim introduce himself.
Jim Rapp, other half, with Dave here, former director of Salisbury Zoo, director of Delight, Tomorrow Low Impact Tourism Experiences. Have lived in the shore most of my life and love exploring the outdoors and love everything Berlin's been doing. This is fantastic work here in this town. Put these ashore on the map.
So what I won't take forever, take about 10, 15 minutes here to just give you an idea of what we saw in the park. Again, we have, Jim actually runs the Hazel Outdoor Discovery Center. Coastal Bays manages a little over 1,000 acres. We both have done a lot of these kind of parks before and made recommendations. And I think we have a decent idea of sort of what to do, what they cost, what kind of works, what doesn't work. We tried to incorporate that into the plan. We actually did about 14 site visits to the plan with folks that we work with from DNR, from NRCS, which is a USDA-run program, mostly works with farmers, with some birding folks, to take a look at what the real possibilities are for the park. We also, if you probably saw the 20-page plan, which was done by a friend of ours from University of Maryland Center for Environmental Science, who does the majority of their, used to do the majority of their publications before she moved back to Australia. And Dave Quillen did the illustrations for the map for us, which you see here, which I'll talk about in just one second. Again, objectives. What we really wanted to do, what we were tasked with, was to take a look at the park, try to draw out its natural features, think about the things that we think folks would really like in the park. What do they like in other parks? They tend to tell us they like the same thing. We've done a lot of surveying over the years. And then make recommendations related to those, some with green infrastructure, which is, you know, a fancy word for how do you make things greener, especially when you're doing infrastructure projects. And then Jim's going to talk about how to market some of the natural features there as well. What I'll do, I'll go over this map here in a second, but what I'll sort of go through right now is just starting with management, what we think some of the management goals and objectives might be that would work for the park, and then kind of end with the budget, which is real important. Everyone, in my mind, as the director of programs, we like to see budgets first and foremost. And the budget, in our mind, is something that needs to be, you know, sort of rationally based. It needs to be something other people can pay for, which is really important, and needs to be, you know, sort of drawn out like that. I'll talk about that at the very end here. So, you know, what do we see at the park? Actually, good to hear Jane says that, you know, the ponds are in good shape, and that's really good news. We can sort of see that. The upper pond has duckweed in it, which is a really nice plant. That's in pretty good shape. The lower ponds have algae issues in the summer, which we think you can remedy with a couple of things. One is letting the plants grow around the pond, not the whole way around the pond because you want access to the pond, but letting the plants, especially willow oaks, grow to help shade the water, help basically outcompete the nutrients in the pond for algae. So you have algae and trees competing for nutrients. You'd rather have the trees win than the algae, and so that's real important. Controlling Canada geese, which aren't really a problem if you keep, you don't want to mow the whole way down to the water, you have a Canada goose problem. Canada geese aren't really a big problem now. White-tailed deer, if you do restoration, will be a problem. I understand there's no hunting within the city limits, but there are some ways to try to keep white-tailed deer under control because they will devour all the good plants you plant and they'll leave the nasty stuff. And then we'll talk a little bit about floating wetland islands, which are a possibility, which they do all over Trap Pond and other places, which again are a way to take up nutrients. And then bluebird boxes and wood duck boxes are something that scouts do all the time. I've done about 42 of those projects, or something I've discovered in my lifetime, and they're easy to do and are really great for folks. People love to watch wood ducks and bluebirds. And again, basking platforms for turtles. It sounds simple. It's not expensive, but when we did a lot of our surveying, we did a nature and heritage plan for Laurel. We did one for Snow Hill. And people kept telling us that they just come to see turtles basking. And so this has one of the highest populations of painted turtles. I surveyed it during the breeding, during the Herp Atlas, which is a reptile amphibian atlas. And there's a lot of painted turtles here. So and other turtles, red-bellied turtles and other species. Hydrology is really important. I can't stress this enough. One of the biggest draw to this park is winter waterfowl, which are mostly dabbling ducks. And shorebirds, and you have to keep the pond shallow for that. If you make these ponds 4 or 5 feet deep, you're not going to have anything but Canada geese and mallards. And so really important to keep those ponds shallow. What the Natural Resources Conservation Service did was they recommended even shallowing out some more areas at the bottom, which is really important. And then keeping, you know, the planting platforms at the top, which you see in the lower right here. Those platforms are still, even though they're not being in any way maintained, they're doing their job. They're basically out-competing all those nutrients in those northern ponds, or the southern ponds, and all you have is duckweed and nice plants, and so you don't have that in the northernmost part in these two upper ponds here. So you want to take a look at possibly doing some of that there as well. Again, restoring the wetlands is not the same as mitigation. Restoring the wetlands would be like this wetland right here, which is behind the southern pond. You go to Burley Oak, you enter the park, it's right behind the ponds with the planted stuff in. Those wetlands could use some work. And the wetlands in the woods next to the railroad tracks, which you probably see on your monitor there, which I have up here, could also use some work. Right now, there's sort of a ditch, not really doing their job. They're draining other areas. There's a really nice hydric soil area behind this, which you see on the lower right, which you may not be able to see here. I'll show it to the council, but this area right here is all hydric soils. You may want that for infrastructure. I'm not really here to advocate for, you know, any given idea, but to say if you did a wetland restoration, it would work. It would work pretty well there. And so the wetland stuff is important. We did get some photos after the rally. I'm not putting a value judgment on this. There's been some mitigation done, but if you do a restoration, you would flatten those wetlands out, and you wouldn't have probably vehicles. We wouldn't recommend vehicle usage anywhere but where you're mowing. So that's something to think about. If you're going to restore the wetlands and attract wildlife, you want to try to keep vehicle use limited on those portions of the property. Interpretation is something Jim and I have done for, you know, again, eons. We have ideas for about 5 panels, which would be turtles, reptiles, amphibians, frogs, and wetland restoration work. We found that Coastal Base Program, we did Grays Creek. There was a lot of really, really exciting stuff that we did with. We had like 2,000 to 3,000 kids there every year. These are kids who wouldn't have come to, in this case, it was Northern Worcester County, but in this case, it would be getting people to Berlin, getting them to the park. They may not come otherwise. There's a good reason to do environmental programs for that reason. Not that Berlin would run those programs, but others would run those programs, and you would invite them to the park to do that. And again, viewing blinds are really important. So a lot of us or folks hunt from duck blinds, but it's also just great viewing too. So if you want to see ducks, you create a blind that's just for watching animals. And so you see that a lot of the national parks and state parks do that. It really works to great effect. And so I highly recommend a blind and some piers as well. Nature-based play areas, again, is really important for some parks. The best estimate I could get for this project was $75,000, but someone like Dave Quillen or others could probably do it for a lot less than $75,000, in my opinion. But that is in the budget at $75,000. But this would be roughly the nature-based play area that we were thinking of is right behind the southernmost pond there. So again, southern part of this is Burley Oak, Old Ocean City Boulevard, and that stuff. And thanks to my wife and Jim's kid for modeling a lot of this. So.
Free, by the way. No cost.
Yeah, no cost to the town, exactly. So compatible uses. I mentioned the motorized vehicle use, but fishing. I love fishing. I was curious about fishing in there. I went up and fished all the ponds for about 7 hours. With stuff that I knew would catch fish, but there doesn't seem to be any fish in the southern ponds. But the northern ponds have pumpkin seeds in them, so I'm sure, you know, if people want to catch them, they're only this big. They're not big sunfish, but they're native sunfish, and I would recommend, if you could, get the go-ahead to allow fishing in those northern ponds, especially if they have better access. We already have sledding in the winter. If you ever folks sled out there, skateboarding, hiking, cycling, all, you know, all good uses for the park. And I'll let Jim talk about the marketing.
Thanks, Dave. So, I mean, everything Dave's been talking about attracting wildlife, and I think, you know, as a wildlife person, someone who travels to see wildlife, it really does set this park apart from other parks in Berlin and the Eastern Shore, and you've already got most of it there. The infrastructure that's been in place there for years when it was industrial, and these ponds have maintained that open space for the waterfowl Dave described, the fringe around the ponds where the songbirds come in, turtles, adding to that is going to benefit everything. So all the compatible uses from hiking and cycling, walking your dog around the pond is going to make it that much more, I think, easy to sell to people who want to come and visit. And I think that's the other part I was able to do, or sorry, bring back up. One thing we worked on, just some little simple things, a Facebook page, working with Ivy to get that going, lots of great comments, people checking in, you know, social media, it's been really fun to see. I did a video with Lisa Challenger, and I know our friends at Maryland Tourism were like, that's exactly it, and the video was mostly about this new park being next to a brewery and a coffee shop. That's unique all by itself. So these stories that Berlin is so good at telling to the world about why you want to come here and be your guest, this is going to add a lot to that. And I love what I saw in the paper about the bike path idea as well as an anchor for this rail next to trail idea, or trail next to rail idea. So I think the stories that you're going to need to help continue marketing Berlin the way you do, this park will not just add, it's going to help create new ones. And that's what makes me most excited about the park. And I think everything Dave's talked about and kind of the science-y engineering side are meant to augment that. So,
yeah. So wrapping up, the north end, if you could, hopefully you can see this, and if you can see that on your
screen, I'll
turn
buddy.
This
give me that.
For folks. But
I'll do a little walk up here.
But I think they can probably see
it.
Oh, got it. I'll walk up.
Maybe these guys want to see it. So again, we had this. I really wanted to do miles. If you're a runner, I was a runner my whole life. I want to know how far I'm walking or running. So we did mileage on each of the little segments there. We have what you see there, all the wetland work and hardwood tree planting and whatnot, is from Natural Resources Conservation Service, where they think we should have mudflats versus emergent wetlands. We put in structures there where we have, I think, good sight lines, where we have turtles basking a lot, especially in that northern pond there. And most of the wildfowl are in that northern pond. So in the wintertime, you got some really nice shallow areas over there. You have wood ducks that breed there in the summer, so the wood ducks are there in June, July, where the other ducks leave. And so you have down at the very bottom left there a little blind. I think that's a great spot for a viewing blind. If you did one, you could just look straight out at all the ducks without spooking them. Ducks spook easy because they get shot at a lot. So that would too. And I do. So the forest and wetland part is there, as you see in the left next to the railroad tracks. That's where you have the sort of the big ruts from vehicles, and there's a lot of potential restoration work there. But a lot of good stuff there, too. Just really nice pieces of hardwood forests and wetlands that are still intact. And so something to think about in those sites. And then the southern part, again, the mileage, it's exactly the same distance. Both of those top segments, those northern segments, are the same distance. We have the otter trail because there are otters on the site. I saw them again this winter. Unfortunately, one was dead. One died somehow. I'm not sure how. But there have been otters on the site since we've been birding there, for even before it was privately owned. When Tyson, Tyson's a private entity, but when Tyson owned it, there was otters there even then too. So again, if you look at this site as you enter, obviously you had a soft open, but you'll need, a lot of people can't find it. So when I get stuff on the Facebook page, stuff they're looking for, but that's because of the soft open. I understand that. But once you get things good and safe and whatnot, then you know. Definitely, we want to have something here that indicates where the park is. But then this is some of the restoration. There must be a home page. Yeah, sorry about that. And again, just wrapping up here. This stuff right here in front is again the sledding. Some hedgerows, some forested restoration, and again, the interpretive panels, where we think they would go. We want to put the interpretive panels where you actually see the things you're interpreting or looking at. So, you know, that was key for us. And then this potentially, again, knowing what the town wants to do with this, but it's hybrid soils, you could do a restoration there, or you could build something as well. But this is the southern end, and again, these are the planting beds that you see down here. Burley Oak, again, at the bottom of judge everything by how far I am from Burley Oaks. So, again, this is the potential spillway. Would be, I think, right about here is where EA had in mind for that. So that's sort of a summary of the map. But more importantly, the budget. When I had staff and Jim did sort of the same, and he puts budgets together, we have an idea of what something will cost if it's pie in the sky. So we did everything on this plan. It would cost about $275. But we also put down funding sources for that. Who can fund these sources? Sometimes with match, sometimes with no match at all. And then, can Public Works assist with it? Can they do some of the work? We have a simple yes, no. And then the chances of Berlin, can't put a number in there, but what do we really think the chances of Berlin having to fund that versus having it being paid for are? And so we just put a low, medium, and high in there based on our experience of who funds what and how much they fund. And then, of course, can volunteers help? Because volunteer hours are worth a lot of money. Volunteers do a heck of a lot of work. And so we figure if we did everything, we didn't put a number in there, it'd probably be about 170, 180-ish thousand. But the total cost for all of these designs would be about 276,000 based on, again, our experience with these kind of projects. So, Jim, do you have anything to add?
No, I mean, I think the beauty of the place, again, it's already there, and it's got a lot of the infrastructure in place because of its former use, and just building on top of it, adding icing to the cake. It could go a long way. And just knowing people in this room, I'm sure, and others who go, it's already becoming a beloved place. So I want to thank Mayor and Council for having us in tonight and for doing this. I want to thank Councilman Purnell for letting me come in there before and with my bird-watching friends. And I probably should have sneaked in there a couple times years ago, but it's in the report. But I think the record right now, just not to make it all about birds, Dave and I are bird nerds, but it's an indication of the level. There's like 180 species of birds that have been seen there over the course of the thing called Eber, people recording these things. That's as good as like a national park right here in Berlin. That's a symbol, little bit of what makes this place so special.
It's an Eber hotspot, which is a big deal. So, and one thing I didn't mention too is that we have in the document, the 20-page plan, there's a list of, at the end of it, there's a list of providers in their websites who provide this, and a list of funders in their websites. So you have that at your disposal as well.
I have one question. Jim, you mentioned you traveled to look at wildlife.
Yes.
Do you have any idea from a business perspective how
oh my goodness, do I ever. Just came out last week. Every 5 years, Fish and Wildlife Service does a survey. It's called the National Survey on the Economic Impact of Hunting, Fishing, and Wildlife Watching. And I want to say the number, I just put on Facebook today, it's like 87 million Americans, it's billions of dollars. I mean, it is one of these undervalued sectors of the travel business. I know Ivy knows this stuff, and others here probably do too. But when you think about all the people that come to photograph wildlife, there's some beautiful photos, by the way, on the Facebook page of local photographers at Berlin's Falls taking pictures. But I have those numbers on our website. I can forward them to you. But it's a growing market and one that I know that our tourism friends love talking about, not just here in Worcester County. Lisa Challenger has been doing this for years. But even at the state level, they're looking for stories like this. And as you know, the stories get out there. New people come to town, new guests. So.
I mean, we want to do the right thing, but if we can make a dollar going.
Absolutely. I'll make sure you get a copy of that. It just came out last week, September 8th, the 2016 survey.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I think we're also very encouraged that this was our first formal presentation because the numbers, as serious as they are, don't look daunting or unachievable, and the uses are, I believe, the ones that are the most commonly supported and enthusiastically supported of all the possibilities that we did do with Berlin Falls Park over many, many years. So, you know, I think it's meant to be, this will be a very important document for the advisory committee and then ultimately the council and staff to begin this process. And, don't expect shovels or seeds or anything right away, but I think now is the perfect time for enthusiasm and let it just got people talking about it. I think this is a wonderful place to begin. And I thank you very much, and looking forward to seeing a lot more of you fellows over time.
Thank you.
Thank you. And number three on our agenda is Resolution 2017-07. It's approving the application to receive the financing for a community legacy grant application. And Community Economic and Community Development Director Robert Wells.
Sure. Good evening, Mayor and Council. Back in the beginning of summer, I think it was around June, I applied for a community legacy grant for additional facade grant funding. Historically, a resolution was required at the time of the application, but they've since changed that rule, and when they accept the application and review it, then they inform Mayor and Council that a resolution is in fact needed for that. So what I am asking is for a resolution for the approval of the $50,000 facade grant through Community Legacy and Department of Housing and Community Development. It is a non-matching grant. It is for $50,000 that would be given to the town that I would use as leverage to encourage our downtown property and business owners to invest in the rehab of their historic buildings downtown.
Could you give us an idea of how that program has worked to date?
Since its inception, I think it's had at least, I don't have the numbers. In the last 2 years, I know that off the top of my head, there has been almost 20 facade grant applications, and we've given out about almost $100,000, but clearly, the property owners have spent at least five times that amount in the rehab of their buildings.
Does anyone have any questions about this resolution and our application to continue in this program?
If nobody has any questions, I make a motion to move forward with the resolution 2017-07 for the Legacy Block.
Cool. Thank you. All right, we have a motion by Council Member Kendall to approve Resolution 2017-07, which allows us to apply for continued participation in the state's Community Legacy Block Grant Program. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you very much. Thank you all. I think we anticipate continued success.
Just a quick correction. It's not a block grant. It's
I was trying to catch myself.
Right, the block grant is separate community development.
Community development.
This is a community legacy grant.
Community legacy. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Next is item four on the agenda, and that is a motion to approve our mutual aid agreement with American Public Power Association, and Laura's going to it's obviously very timely, and that's why it's come about tonight.
So we have several mutual aid agreements, and for those of you in the audience, mutual aid agreements basically enable us to ask adjacent communities or communities in the area to provide assistance if we need it in a disaster. It also gives us the opportunity to provide that assistance if we're able to in disaster. So as members of American Municipal Power, we've been asked to determine whether or not we would have electric employees available and equipment that we could send to Florida. In order for us to be able to do that, we need to be part of a mutual aid agreement with American Public Power Association. All of the public utilities in Florida are members of the APPA mutual aid agreement. They are not members of AMP. We are members of AMP. So by joining this mutual aid agreement, we're basically extending our ability to provide aid to communities outside of AMP within the American Public Power Association framework, which is pretty much all across the country. It's unlikely that we would be asked to provide assistance to a community that's extremely far away. Even in this case, the impact of Irma in Florida is not as significant as they originally expected. So even though we had a phone call, I think it was it last week, Tim, when they reached out to you?
Yes, Thursday, I believe.
Even though we got contacted last week, my phone call with the AMP people today indicates that we may not need to go, they may not need us. But staff is recommending that the council approve this mutual aid agreement, because that would put us in a position to be able to provide assistance to communities in Florida as well as Georgia that we cannot at this point under any existing mutual aid agreement.
And hopefully we'll never see this day, but if we are in need of assistance, is it reciprocal?
It is reciprocal, right. Okay. And then the way it would work, just to follow up on that, is the town would not bear the expenses. The community that's making the request for us to come and provide assistance would be the one that would be paying for it. They would be reimbursing us for the labor, the fringe benefits, the equipment, any of those related expenses within a specific time period.
So, and it would be a reasonable limit on how long they'd be gone, so that it's not for months.
Right. If we're asked to go to Florida, Tim and I have already discussed this. He's got three people in mind. We think the assignments will be about 10 days. But again, that kind of depends on where they go and depends on the specific need.
And based on the email you sent out, we could receive coverage from Chop Tank to help us out if we needed some additional staff.
Correct. What we're looking at doing is sending three people, Tim, Alan, and Claude. We do have a mutual aid agreement with Chop Tank Electric. We wouldn't want to send our folks into Florida without making sure that we've got good coverage here. We don't see any kind of weather activity on the horizon that would be a problem. But at the time the request came through, one of the discussions Tim and I had was, what's the impact to Irma? You know, is Irma going to come up the Eastern Seaboard at that time? I'm not sure. So now we've got a situation where it's pretty clear that we'll be in good shape. We've got Chop Tank as backup if we need it. And we have three really skilled, qualified individuals that we would like to send to Florida if they actually need the help.
And I would like to point out that our mutual aid agreement and general partnership with Chop Tank goes back decades. They've been there for us, and we've been there for them many, many times.
Yeah, and Tim reconfirmed their availability.
If there is any other questions, I'd like to make a motion that we approve the mutual aid assessment.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're so fortunate to be on the giving of this particular situation.
So we'll provide this to AMP, and then we'll let you know if they do follow up. We've asked to have at least 3 days notice so that our employees can get themselves organized and get their families situated before they leave. So I'll keep you posted on that.
Thank you all. Next is our departmental reports. First is Finance Director Natalie Salee.
Good evening. Just one thing. We are in day one of fiscal 17 audit. DPS and companies on site. They will be here Monday through Friday, and we're just helping them to assist with any information they ask and to provide to review and file back away. That's all I have. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Any questions for Natalie?
How's Matt Tyler program working with the auditors? Are you able to find the reports you need?
The reporting is much easier. We have flexibility to print the reports for the dates they're requesting, definitely. And the most outstanding item is the customer service. We've been very pleased. If we have a question, you dial and it's actual live person fix the phone right away.
Great.
Thank you.
Next is Administrative Services Director Mary Bowen.
I don't have anything this evening, ma'am.
Okay, thank you very much. Next, Water Resources and Public Works Director Jane Kreider.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Just an update on the William Street culvert replacement. The end walls were placed on Friday or Thursday. Water and sewer was the water needed to be moved. The sewer needed to be secured because the pipe. The culvert is actually going to be sitting right on top of the sewer line. So here's a picture of part of it. There were some questions about a pedestrian walk path. It's there. It's being moved around to accommodate the different construction phases. In fact, Saturday night, somebody decided they thought they could drive their car through it. So it's become a little more narrow, so that it's more obvious that it's only for pedestrian traffic. But it will, you'll see that it will move around a little bit to accommodate the construction at whichever area they're working on at the time. That's all I have.
We've received some very positive comments about the public access and the walkway path, so we're going to continue to try to make sure that when we have projects in the future, we do that same, provide that same option.
I think that's one of the benefits of having a community that's walkable and likable, right? But that wasn't an issue many years ago. Good. Thank you.
Can you explain what's sitting on top of the sewer line and if that's going to cause any issues, say that fails later on down the road?
Oh. The culvert itself will be laying on, the stormwater conveyance will be on top of the sewer. You can't, sewer is gravity, so it's very difficult to move something that has to flow downhill. But we are encasing the pipe in concrete so that it'll be much more secure and it'll accommodate the weight of the piping.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Electric Utility Director Tim Lawrence.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I just have a few things to report on in the past 2 weeks. Police Department site, we energized the transformer, the secondary end of the building. Basically, it's energized into the building. We tested the meter and made sure everything was working properly. And then also, we removed the temporary construction service that they had, so they use the building itself. And also, Dueling Way and Schooner Lane, that's that overhead line that runs from Decatur Extended down that right-of-way into Schooner and Dueling Way. We have budgeted to underground that line. We have actually, the pipe's already installed. We installed a new switch. So if you go down Dueling Way and you make a right to go past Schooner, you'll see a new switch there on that left side. That's where the underground will come down from Gold Creek, tie into that switch, and then the two runs of primary on the overhead will come down and go into the switch, and then the overhead line can be removed. It runs through that area where those really tall trees are at. We had some issues back there with some storms, knocking the trees down and knocking the power out of the area, so that's why it runs down there. Then also it... You may have already noticed up the west and Main Street, the park lot across from Fenn's restaurant. We did some tree trimming in there. I think Laura got a request to trim the trees in there, so we assisted Public Works with trimming the trees there. Also, Kenwood Court, we had a issue with the transformer there, so we had to schedule an outage, which occurred on Friday, September 8th. From 9 to 12, we replaced the transformer. In that court there. And then tomorrow, we 321 Walnut Hill, we have it scheduled to install a new electric service to the house there starting tomorrow. And I would like to also speak about the mutual aid to Florida. I actually received a call at 5 o'clock right before I got back here from Virginia today from the coordinator with AMP, which is a guy out of Pennsylvania. He actually spoke to me and sent me some information for DOT, that type of stuff, you know, to get access down the road, you know, through scales and stuff like that. He's actually supposed to call me tomorrow to give me an update on, you know, what's going to happen, whether we're going to Florida or not, and we'll be working with the crew out of Pennsylvania. There's two or three crews coming from Pennsylvania, coming this way, and we'll just catch up with them and go down there. Just to give you an update on it.
And you're just about the court, obviously, Laura can let us know when you
yeah, Laura,
on the duty if it comes.
Laura and I have been in touch with each other all day today, yeah. Pretty much. And so it's been going back and forth, and we don't really know what's going to occur until probably tomorrow or Wednesday.
No. I would just add, just for convenience sake, that we just put a notice on the website and send a notice to the media if they're interested. So they're aware, because it's one of those things where you can't predict when it'll happen, but that way
everybody
gets a notification.
Yeah. I've been on several of these type of things, you know, in my time in the electric field. Like we went and helped Baltimore Gas and Electric a few years back. And, you know, I've been all through Virginia and things like that. And it's a good thing. You're helping people to get power restored, and it goes hand in hand. If we had that issue here, they would be here to help us. So I kind of look forward to it.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Tim?
Yeah, question for Tim.
Yes.
The impact of flooding on the underground wires.
You mean the impact of what it would do to it?
Yeah.
The cable nowadays is actually meant to be underground, the way it's built. Back in the 70s and 80s, there was a cable that was called 175 mil primary. Basically, it did not have an outside jacket on it. And what happens over a period of time, the neutral, which is exposed to the minerals, deteriorates because of the irons in the ground and stuff like that eats away at it. But the new cable nowadays is actually meant to be buried, direct buried, or be put in conduit. But it's very costly to do that. Versus the expenditure from overhead to underground, you're looking at could be 4 to 5 times what it would be to be installed overhead.
So there's virtually, on the new stuff now, there's virtually no impact of flooding at all?
No, not unless, well, I can't say that. In Miami, for example, they're 3 foot above sea level. So if you've got a substation and it's under 10 feet of water, it's definitely going to be impacted.
Yeah.
It has a lot of electronics and that type of stuff involved in the relay system. So when a substation becomes submerged, they basically have to shut the power off to it. That's what you end up in that case. But the cabling itself underground, the water's not going to hurt that. It's the equipment that goes along with it that's above ground. If you have a switch that's energized, say, at 25,000 volts, like our switches, for example, or transformers, once you submerge them and the water gets into the interior of the equipment, that's what causes the issues. Thank you.
Okay, any other questions for Tim? Right. And next is Police Department Lieutenant Robert Fisher. Anything to report?
Nope.
Will you come back again? Thank you. Thank you. That's good. That's good. Planning Director Dave Englehart.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Just briefly, Mr. Rapp, in his presentation on the uses for the park, alluded to the bikeway. Week before last, I sent our copies executed off to the bikeway program. I'm waiting for them to come back with signed copies. Once I get those, then we can begin the survey, design, engineering of the bike. So I would anticipate any day now I should see that, and we can get underway with that. And the only other item I have, some good news. We RSVP'd last week for my department. Carolyn Duffy and I last year had completed the MML Academy of Excellence, and we had to let them know we were going to come to the graduation ceremony over at the University of Maryland College Park, and that is on the 24th. It's on a Sunday, so we'll go over and walk the stage. And I know she's looking forward to it, so we're excited. And it was a good program to go through, and I thank you for it.
Please pass on congratulations to yourself and Carol. That's wonderful.
We'll get a photo where too. Yeah.
Good. Thanks.
Thank you.
Any questions for Dave? Next is Economic and Community Development Director Ivy Wells.
Just a few things tonight. The first annual, I can say annual now because it will happen next year, Berlin Small Town Throwdown. Exceeded everyone's expectations. Everything went pretty smoothly, with the exception of a little electrical glitch we had with one of the food trucks. But other than that, it was well attended. People seemed to have a good time. The businesses did well, and John Fager sponsored the entire event. So thanks to John Fager for that.
He's pleased with the result.
What was that?
Is John pleased with the result?
I haven't talked to him today, but when I saw him at the end of the event, he was very happy. And with that said, I'll segue into our deadline for our event submissions was September 1st, and we have received every single submission for any event that has happened previously over the last year, and we haven't had anyone reach out to us asking for an extension because they got their paperwork to us by September 1st, so we're good with that. So
will the next step, again, because we revised the deadline, it looks like this will not be a big push-up for the mayor and council, but since all the events have been properly and timely, had a timely reapplication, when will they be formally presented to the mayor and council for approval?
Laura and I have to meet about them, so probably the council meeting after Laura and I meet about them.
In other words, do we sit with them?
No, definitely not, because I need to get the event information over to several agencies.
And keep in mind the policy that was adopted gives staff level review and approval to certain events, depending on as long as it's not alcohol.
So we don't have to worry about everything, just certain ones.
Right, we'll sort through those and we'll make some decisions about that, and then we'll bring information.
Right, no additional events were added that included alcohol at all. No one even asked permission for extra events for that, so that's good.
That is good.
I knew Tom would like that. And then also I just wanted to share, it looks more than likely that a new butcher shop will open in the old butcher shop location. So that's not 100% confirmed, but I know I've been getting a lot of questions, so I just wanted to put that out there publicly, that it looks like it's trending to be new ownership for the existing butcher shop. And then also a new hair salon is opening up next week next to Tom's printing. Ace Printing.
Thank you.
Next to Ace Printing.
Oh boy. That could be a very confident.
Yeah, I know. She got her business license today. She wants to open up next week. And then third Thursday on September 21st, a lunchtime concert, 11:30 to 1:30, features Brian Russo, and he's also bringing a sax player, I believe. And then the Christmas parade letters went out to 85 of the people who want to be in the parade. So once we get their letters back saying that they do want to be in the parade, if all 85 come back, there are no additional spots. If some of those 85 choose not to be in the Christmas parade this year, then we have another waiting list that we will issue invitations to. But right now, we are not asking for any more submissions for the Christmas parade because we are.
In other words, the folks that have been in the parade get right of first refusal.
Correct.
To a point.
That's correct.
And that's worked very nicely these years.
What's the date of the parade again, Ivy?
It's the first Thursday in December. I don't have that date. I don't have my phone to look at my calendar. But the deadline for the 85 participants to get back to us is October 21st.
December 7th.
Yeah.
It's the first
Thursday. All right. Any questions for Autumn? Okay. And next is Managing Director Jeffrey.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I have nothing to report.
Thank you very much. And next is our Town Administrator's report.
I just have a couple of requisitions. Requisition 508 is 319, 113, and 346. I don't know if Tim wants to add anything specific to that one.
I can if you need me to. What's going on out there is from Germantown Road all the way up to Route 346, Old Ocean City Boulevard, on the right-hand side. There's some really tall trees in there, 80, 85, 90 feet tall. And what we've noticed in the past two or three rainstorms, in fact, one of the storms, it actually knocked out Circuit 210. What's going on is the trees are so heavy when it rains and they're drenched, you can see them start coming down into the lines. We don't have a truck tall enough to reach them. Our trucks are only 55 foot tall, and some of these trees are 85, 90 feet high. So what I did, I got Asplund Tree Service, which they're actually certified to work around energized power lines, to give me a price on coming in to trim all those trees from Germantown Road all the way to 346.
Wow. Approximately, how many trees will they be trimming?
How many total?
About three, half a dozen.
Oh, I'm going to say at least 50.
Wow.
70.
That's excellent.
Something like that.
For $10,000.
For $10,000.
It's a great price.
Yes, it's a great price.
It's a lot.
And these are the prices that also do the contract for the State Highway Administration.
That's correct. Yeah, they're very. They'll take care of pulling the SHA permits and set up the work zone and all that.
So Dean asked if we need a motion to approve it.
Yes, move to approve.
Thank you.
A motion by Councilmember Burrell to approve the amount of $10,225.60 to Ashwenda for tree trimming along Route 113 from Germantown Road to Maryland Route 346. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you.
Great. So the next requisition we've got is requisition 511. It's a Mitsubishi engine we built for four turbos, and I'll let Tim talk about that. The total is $16,853.
What's going on there is number two engine at the power plant, which is a Mitsubishi. That engine was installed in 1999. It has four turbos on the top of the engine. It's a diesel engine, and the way the turbos are supposed to work inside, there's a, I'm not an expert on it, but there's a wheel, basically a spline in there. Well, those are supposed to spin freely. And what happened about a month ago, we had an issue with that engine. And I had to have Bay Diesel come in and take a look at it. And while they were there, I had them check, you know, basically do an overall check over the entire engine. And what they found out is the turbos, one of them was not spinning freely. It was almost completely seized up. And then the other one inside, the spline was basically, you could move it around, and it's not supposed to be that. What's going there on there is the bearings are basically wearing out in it. So what I did, had them give me a price on rebuilt ones plus new ones. Then also I asked him the question about a warranty on it. Whether it's a rebuild or whether it's a new one, the warranty is the same. It's only 1 year on the turbo. The price of brand new ones is about $33,000. So the rebuilt ones are about half that price, so I felt that was the way to do it.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions for Tim regarding recommendation to rebuild four turbos? We have a motion by Councilmember Brittingham to approve the rebuilt engine, electric diesel engine for electric. A utility in the amount of $16,853.44. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Great, thanks. I can place
my report. Okay. I would just like to make a note that I'm sure both everyone has learned or knows that former Borough Mayor Rex Haley passed away back on September 1st, and Rex served as our Borough and Town Councilman for 8 years. And then as mayor from 1996 to 2004. During his 8-year tenure as Berlin's mayor, Town Hall, the building that we're in right now, underwent major, urgently needed renovations to update and modernize the facility while preserving its historic architecture. He was also a strong advocate for providing equitable town services to all neighborhoods in Berlin. Under Mayor Haley's leadership, Berlin initiated significant upgrades to its Berlin electric utility over a period of several years, which laid the foundation for the efficient and cost-effective electric utility we all enjoy today. He also successfully advocated for the extension of town sewer and water to Seahawk Road to provide environmentally sustainable services for both Stephen Decatur High School and Stephen Decatur Middle School. Mayor Haley will certainly be remembered for his infectious smile and as a very well-liked citizen of Berlin. He was known for being caring, supportive, and a joyful friend to everyone he met. We extend our thoughts and prayers to his wife, Shirley, and to his many friends. Do you have any comments from the council tonight?
Yes, sir. I just like to say I spent 16 years with Rex, and Rex was also a mayor that he liked to travel. He went every meeting that he could go, whether it was in town or out of town. And that's all about I can say about Rex, but He was a good guy. He was a friend, also.
Thank you.
I think Mary only had the most expensive collection of Hawaiian print shirts. He always had a different one on.
Yeah. We'll be very much missed in memorial services this Thursday at about 11 o'clock at St. Paul's Episcopal Church right around the corner on Church Street.
I just got to say one thing about Rex. He left his Thunderbird, and when he first got his Thunderbird, we were going to a meeting, I think it was Suicide Bridge or somewhere, and Rex looked at me and said, "It's a V8.
That's a great
Thank you. Do we have any comments or presentations or questions from anyone in the public who's in attendance tonight? Do we have any comments or questions from the press?
Move to adjourn.
You're late. Stand adjourned. Thank you very much for your attendance.
What's the patient?